KHUM is freeform independent radio from Humboldt County, California. Learn more at khum.com.
Happy trails to you.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for another edition of Happy Trails. Today we're looking at bike safety after the ridiculously large amount of car versus bicycle accidents, just Eureka and just this last week alone. Rick Knapp of the Humboldt Bay Bicycle Commuters Association is joining us, along with Emily Sinkhorn. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Cliff.
Good morning, indeed. Alrighty, Rick, we've talked to you before, and really glad to have you back on the show. You, just to give a little brief history, you used to work for Caltrans way back when. You were pretty much the person responsible for allowing us to even be able to commute on the area highways. Isn't that correct?
Well, I was the district director for Caltrans up until I retired. It's been almost 8 years now. Yeah. But actually, most of the freeways were open for bikes when I got up here in 79. And I had worked in the Office of Bicycle Facilities in Sacramento and helped facilitate the opening of many of the freeways in the state for bike use, where it happened to be the safest place to ride.
It is, actually, in a lot of different places. And until we get a regional trail system, it's really the only way that connects most of our communities here in Humboldt County. But recently, there's just been a whole rash of car versus bicycle accidents just this past week in the city of Eureka. It seems a little bit strange. What do you think is going on?
Well, there's been two pretty serious cycling accidents here in just the last 3 weeks. And, you know, the first one here in Eureka that was a fatal, where an individual ran right through a stop sign, as it was reported anyway, at on K Street at the intersection of 6th, and was hit by a pickup and later died. In this case, the individual wasn't wearing a helmet, and so his chances were radically diminished.
Right.
The second one here, that it was Scott Marcus, an inspirational speaker locally, was hit riding his bike northbound on East Street. And, you know, I happen to ride on East Street a lot because the street I live on comes off of E. I see Scott all the time. He's a very, you know, he's a law-abiding bicyclist. He stops at all the stop signs and red lights and does everything right. And still, he was at the intersection of 5th Street waiting to go across at a red light. And the light turned green. He started across, and a motorist going the opposite direction turned left right in front of him. And he was launched into, you know, under the hood and into the windshield. But luckily for Scott, and he was wearing a helmet, and
it's a good thing, well, he landed on his head, from what I understand.
Yeah, he landed on his head, and I understand his helmet was crushed, so you can imagine, and a helmet's an awful lot stronger than a head, so you can imagine what would have happened.
Yeah, I mean, a helmet is not a guarantee of survival, but it certainly does help, especially if you land on your head. Heads are a lot softer than people think.
Yeah, you know, anytime you hit the pavement, so you could be on a single, you could be in an accident where you fell off your bike,
right.
You slipped on gravel and went down and hit your head on the pavement. Anytime you hit your head on the pavement, it can cost you your life or the life as you know it.
Absolutely. And here's the interesting thing. You know, I've had a conversation with several people who say, I've been biking for so long, you know, if I fall, I know how to fall correctly. Well, guess what? You don't have that choice a lot of times. A lot of times you're just going to fall where you're going to fall.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you get hit and you can be thrown into, you know, onto the curb, into a pole, you know, anything can happen.
Absolutely.
You have very little to say about what's going to happen to your head when you're in a collision.
So absolutely.
When you fall down by yourself, you know, you're sliding down, yeah, maybe you can put your arm out and break that.
Absolutely. You know, but when you're launched, when you're launched, you don't have much choice as to what kind of landing you're going to have. Fortunately for my accident, I did not land on my head. And I, of course, I was wearing a helmet. The unfortunate thing is with a lot of the fatals, you know, it's, yes, there are a lot of cyclists out there that do not stop at stop signs and run the wrong way on roads and don't follow the rules of the law. But a lot of cyclists do. And unfortunately, in the cases where the cyclist is taken away in an ambulance or is killed, they don't get a say as to what happened.
I think it really shows that there is a huge, you know, responsibility for both cyclists and motorists, and also just a huge responsibility for all of us in the community to really challenge ourselves with how we're designing streets and weighing in on how we're designing our communities, because education can go a long way. And also, just as we've been talking on this program forever, having opportunities to be active and have, you know, safe places to be active, whether in separated trails or bike lane facilities, all of those are key, you know, parts of designing an environment that is safe and appealing for cyclists. But it also really puts a lot of responsibility on both cyclists and motorists. And I know there's hardly any kind of funding for bicycle education within driver's ed, but I think that could be something on a, you know, on an education level at the state level that could really improve just how motorists and cyclists view each other and how they interact on the roadways.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the whole complete streets movement, you know, basically is designed to, you know, make it just a lot safer for not only motor vehicles, but for pedestrians and those on bicycles as well, to be able to share the roads safely together.
And unfortunately, there is a real high incident of bicycle, auto, and pedestrian auto collisions in Humboldt County. And especially for its size, the city of Eureka really shares a lot of that burden. And most of that occurs, you know, along Broadway and the 101 corridor. And that's really where there's high incidence of low-income neighborhoods. And so really there's been a disproportionate, you know, collisions within kind of these more disadvantaged neighborhoods. And that equity issue is something that we've been really trying to bring to the forefront. And I think it's going to take a lot of work, both at the Caltrans level. Caltrans is kind of re-looking at a feasibility study for the Broadway corridor. And bicycle and pedestrian safety, you know, to me has to be a number one of the top top focus areas for that feasibility study.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, the Scott Marcus case. There was also another one that wasn't as publicized. A friend of mine's brother was hit a few days before Scott was. He was okay. He was banged up a bit. But it was the same kind of thing. He was just not seen. Was doing everything right and was just not seen, and then smack, you know, got hit by a motorist that just was not paying attention. It's unfortunate. You know, Eureka has really got a very high rate, as you just said, Emily. You were saying, Rick?
Yeah, you know, Cliff, you touch on something that's really important, and I talked to Scott Marcus the other day, and I said, one of the things that our bike club wanted to do for you, Scott, is to give you one of these lime green vests, because in spite of the fact that you might do everything right, and I pride myself in obeying all the rules of the road, but I don't trust that everyone else is going to be.
Absolutely.
And so I want to be visible. I want to be visible from a long distance away so that maybe even the distracted driver will have a chance to see me prior to hitting me. And so, you know, we had a conversation about that, and he says, because sometimes he, you know, he's not wearing real bright clothing, and but in spite of the fact he did everything right, he wasn't seen. And so to maximize your chances, you want to be very, very visible out there. And so Scott's going to be wearing a nice bright vest that we're going to give him later this week.
That is a terrific idea. You know, of course, it's not a guarantee. I mean, when I was hit, I was wearing one of those lime green, citron green jackets with a reflective stripe with five lights that were blaring on my on my bike as well. Did everything right and still got hit. You know, sometimes it's going to happen. But, you know, that's just, you just, you know, it's what happens out there. So, you know, motorists bear a huge responsibility because your vehicle is way heavier than someone on a bicycle. And, you know, when those collisions happen, the cyclist always loses.
And there really are a lot of opportunities to, you know, learn bicycle commuting and safety skills. And one of the programs that Rick has really been involved in is Bike Smart through Humboldt Bay Bicycle Commuters Association. And Rick, can you touch on kind of that opportunity?
Sure. Every summer we conduct these programs. It's a 2-hour safety course for kids, and we teach kids the rules of the road and why the rules are the way they are, and then we take them out on the streets. And we ride generally in the streets of Eureka, even for people who live in Arcata or McKinleyville, because there are so many different options to consider. And, you know, we'll have 7-year-old kids out there and show them how to cross H and I Street and where to be in the roadway and how to make a left-hand turn properly and how to recognize who has the right-of-way at an intersection. And so it's a fairly comprehensive thing, and we will also invite parents to go with them. And you'd be amazed how many parents say, "I didn't know that," you know, and how many kids are telling their parents while we're out there, "That's not the way to do it, Mom." Mm-hmm. You know,
there's a common misconception with a lot of cyclists, and I've had this conversation with many that they don't have to stop at stop signs, and that's just absolutely not true. I mean, it's you have to follow the same exact rules of the road as a motor vehicle. You absolutely have to stop at stop signs. You know, a lot of them say, it's inconvenient. I have to stop and put my feet down. It's like, well, you got to do it.
Well, you know, you're right. It's just, you know, I will tell kids, don't act like a squirrel when you're out on the roadway. And unfortunately, a lot of adults get on a bicycle and they act like a kid.
Yep.
All of a sudden, they're now doing something completely different than what they do when they're driving their car. They're approaching a stop sign and a red light, and they diagonal across, get on the wrong side of the road, ride down that road, other road, turn left, ride down there for a little ways, and then diagonal back across to the right-hand side. So, well, you know, they're acting like a squirrel out there. They're not predictable, and they're not safe. They're putting themselves in jeopardy and others. And me, as a cyclist, you know, I just hate it when I'm seeing bicyclists riding toward me.
Well, they give us all a bad name when they're doing that.
They do that, and we don't know if they're going to ride that way. We don't know if they're going to go to the left of us or to the right of us. Am I supposed to have to stop while this yahoo goes wherever he's going to go? So it's, you know, to a large degree, like Emily said, you need the education out there. But people, even who know the laws, are disobeying them willfully. And a lot of times people think riding facing traffic is the safest because you can see everything that's going on in front of you. And I always say, well, but the things you're seeing are very, very dangerous. You know, as you approach a parked car, you're going to swerve out into the traffic lane. You know, as you approach other bicyclists, you're going to do what? And, you know, and the closing speeds. You know, people don't think about the fact that if you're going 15 on the road and a motorist is going 45 and you're facing them, you're closing at 60 miles an hour.
Absolutely.
And you're still closing until both parties stop. You know, it doesn't even matter if the bicyclist stopped. Till the motorist has stopped, you're still closing. Well, on the other side of the street, that closing speed is 30. And all the motorist has to do is slow down to the speed you're going, and you're not closing on them anymore. So, you know, it's 10 times more safe to be on the right side of the road. People say, well, I can't see what's going on. Use a rearview mirror. A rearview mirror allows you to ride more defensively.
Absolutely. I always rode with a rearview mirror, and that's why I could see that I was about to be hit.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I knew it was coming.
Occasions where I thought I was going to be hit, and I was able to avoid a collision.
That's
I looked
great.
Up, and you know, I saw somebody on the shoulder of the freeway bearing down on me, and I went right off the shoulder.
That happened to me before as well.
Because I'm looking all the time back to see what's going on. Now there's rumble strips, so we would be able to hear a rumble strip. We'd be able to look back and see, did the motorist correct, or are they still bearing down on me? Because you hear a rumble strip, but you don't know if they're continuing to go there or they just went over and back.
Speaking of that, let's just give kudos where kudos are due to Caltrans for putting those rumble strips in, being very responsive. And doing that was really a huge a bit of safety that they added to our area highways.
Okay, mega dittos.
Yeah, dittos indeed. Indeed. So we are rapidly running out of time, but I guess the upshot is, you know, everybody pay attention. Cyclists, pay extra attention. Follow the rules of the road. And motor vehicles out there, you're driving through town, just understand that the road is being shared by pedestrians and a lot of cyclists. More and more people are doing it all the time, especially in tough economic times. More and more people are going to commute on their bikes, especially with short little distances. It just makes sense.
Absolutely.
And Emily, is there anything else you want to touch on? Anything coming up?
Nope, just next week we'll be having a statewide perspective of rail trail issues with Steve Schweikert of the Rails to Trails Conservancy.
Excellent.
And, yeah, looking forward to it. Thank you, Rick.
Hey, you're welcome, Emily. Cliff, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Always great having you on. All righty. Rick Knapp and Emily Sinkhorn, thank you both. And as always, this conversation will be archived for you to listen to at any time as a podcast at iTunes and at KHUM.com.
Happy trails to you.